You are live.
All right, cool. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the BAMF podcast. This is your former host, Mike Lafferty, who seems to have been supplanted after losing in martial combat to Walter Bouillard. But I'm back tonight with Walt's blessing, and we're going to be talking about one of those perennial geek subjects, Dream Team or Dream Project for comics. The basic idea is, you know, preferably, if you could take any existing property and redo it, how would you redo it? And if you don't want to take on that, then, you know, who's your dream team for taking on existing property? So joining us today, we have all kinds of people. We have our frequent guest, Aid Smith. How you doing, Aid?
Not too bad, thank you.
Right. From Zion Studios, we have DT Puccino. How you doing, DT?
Hey, how's it going?
I'm all right. Good to have you on. I think this is your second time on the BAMF podcast, right?
I think it's actually my third or fourth.
Oh, cool. All right. In case our listeners have poor memories like I do, why don't you refresh them with what you do in the gaming world?
I am actually one part of Sketchpad Studios and kind of Zion Studios.
Okay.
My partner actually looks like he just hopped on.
it looks like Charlie McElvey, the godfather of Zion Studios, just joined us. How you doing, Charlie?
Hey, I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Don't worry. That was a nice Steve Austin one eyebrow raise you gave us there in the video window. And Charlie is the mastermind behind Zion Studios, as well as the guy behind, WatchGuard. And what's the other comic you do, Charlie?
Team Force 5.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks for joining us today, Charlie. Glad you could make it.
Glad to be here.
And next to DT in the little black screen is Jason Toundrew, a.k.a. Dr. Comics.
Hey, everybody. Good to be here. Thank you.
Glad to have you. And sitting next to Jason, we have Chris McLaughlin of Green Ronin fame. How you doing, Chris?
I'm enjoying a tasty McRib, sir. How are you?
Tasty McRib. Pork got cheap again.
If Chris is next to me, I got to be careful of, like, knives underneath the table.
That sounds like some inside joke I don't know about.
I'm just making stuff up. That's all right. Don't mind me.
All right. Cool, cool. And next to Chris is Walter Bouillard, who we talked about earlier. How you doing, Walt?
I am, obviously, the poor man's Mike Lafferty.
The poor man's Mike Lafferty. What does that make me, then? The extra discount economy? So, I don't know. Let's not go down that rabbit hole too far.
The Walmart Mike.
The Walmart Mike. But I'm banned from that chain, at least until 2017, and it's all bullshit, but anyway. So the subject on the table is dream projects, and I know Chris McLaughlin is always opinionated, and we'll get us started off with a burst of fire. So Chris, go.
Well, I admire Chris because he always does, like, heavy research and planning for these things. Like, he's got a list, I guarantee you, he has a list.
He does, I bet.
Two counts as a list.
He wrote a doctorate paper for this.
Two counts as a list. So, yeah, okay. All righty. Well, okay. Being an old man, I dream of days past. So my dream projects are things that remind me of the past times when things made sense, kids weren't so out of control, and, you know, music still spoke to me. And of all the dreams I had in comics that never quite came true, there was a rumor floating around in comic circles back even the pre-internet age that there was going to be a collaboration between two writers that I mean, seriously, I would dream teams, this would be it. And I have to admit, it's for very personal reasons. First of all, there would be Matt Wagner. Because Matt Wagner's Sandman Mystery Theater is the book that got me back into comics after eschewing it for more than a decade in favor of girls and things like that. So Matt Wagner was going to be half of the team. And with him was going to be James Robinson, whose Starman made me a comic fan for the rest of my life. That's what made me want to stay. Well, the story was that Wagner and Robinson were going to get together and do Justice Society of America Year One. Doing their, I think it was supposed to be like a 12-part story of how the original Justice Society came together. And I was so ready to buy that. I was ready to buy the absolute edition of that. And those things didn't even exist back then. That's how psyched I was about this comic. If Rob Liefeld would have drawn it, I would still buy that, just because those two guys working together. But as the years went by, I heard less and less about it, and then came the big day that I actually got to meet Matt Wagner and ask him about the project. Yeah. And he got this big smile on his face, and he goes, "That was a product of me and James Robinson drinking together at San Diego, and it never made it out, actually made it out of the bar." Oh, and you probably heard the sound of my heart breaking wherever you were at that moment.
Well, you know, Chris, you can cheer up because Frank Miller's writing a new Dark Knight book, so.
Oh, Mark's the same thing.
Not only was the food terrible, but the servings were huge.
I thought he was one of those minor guys that didn't get to be in the Republican debate last night. You know, it was like, you know, like him and Mike Huckabee were off in the corner somewhere or something. But if he's back to writing comics again, okay, well, suppose it'll keep him out of jail.
Yeah, apparently DK3, DC's banking a lot on that, you know, pulling up their year since they've, you know, a couple million in the red after the move out west, so.
DK3, the master race.
Well, you know, is it any shock that Didio and Lee are bringing back a comic they love but completely misinterpret and fail to understand? Couldn't you just see them in their office right now going like, that's the one for, like, Batman, like, kills Superman. I'm so cool. We need to do another one of those.
Your Keanu Reeves imitation is spot on.
Well, you know.
I thought it was more like Beavis and Butthead.
Just sounds like it too.
You know, it's sort of an amalgam of every dumb student I've ever had over the years. You know? Like, you know, like we were having a debate once about the government being more inclusive, you know, ways, you know, and we opened up the possibility of the government opening up to more positions to disabled people, and we were having a debate about should that ever be an issue, and it got heated in the group discussions, and one of my students just jumped out of his chair, pounded on the table, and yelled, "Dude, you are racist against blind people!"
Oh.
And his heart was in the right place, but, you know.
But his head was nowhere to be found.
Well, if all the black people you know about are like Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder, then, you know, maybe. We tell them that Matt Murdock exists, and, you know.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, that would be my first dream project that I would actually love to see get off the ground. I mean, especially nowadays, because it would mean that the Real Justice Society were coming back in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and Robinson and Wagner would be writing comics again, which they
Yes, which would also be wonderful.
Well, Charlie, what's your pick?
Oh.
We've been talking about this for a month, man. Don't tell me you don't have any idea.
It's one of those things. See, I didn't McLaughlin this. I didn't sit there and make a list. I had all these things in my head, and now, like, it's an ADD brain fart. Like, there's too many things. And DT and I were talking about Blue Beetle and Booster Gold this morning, and so I was like, that's going through my head right now.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
They're making a movie, apparently.
Which would be phenomenal if it's – well, again, I said it this morning. It could go really good. Really well, or it could be a complete nightmare. And so I don't think there's any gray area on that one, so we'll see what happens. I think anything with – I'd love to see and this is just one of the off-the-wall random picks of the things I've been thinking about the last few weeks. A JL Europe revisitation with Bart Sears at the on the art and, you know, all the wah-ha-ha moments with just enough darkness to make it fun. Like, if you remember the Gray Man saga, when Justice League International, Justice League Europe split up, and that whole thing was, that was such a good, I didn't define the trade for that, actually. That was such a good series. I'd love to see something along those lines again.
Yeah, that was really good. I'm glad you brought that up. I love that era of JLA. It doesn't get a lot of love, though, you know, in fan circles, it doesn't seem.
Nah, that's their problem. That's because they're all dumb now. No, I'm kidding.
Have you been reading Justice League 3000?
I love that series. I am actually enjoying the crap out of that series. It's got enough of that nostalgia. It's fresh and new. Porter's art's really kind of, it's matured in a lot of ways. I think it's better than it's ever been. I'm enjoying that. I really am. So if no one else likes it, that's their problem. I really enjoy it.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, hey, sitting next to Charlie is DT. DT, what are your thoughts on this?
Oh, where to start?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that at the top of that list, I would like to actually write one of the teen books, whether it be Teen Titans, New Warriors, Young Avengers, some form of New Mutants. I just, everything that's been coming out in the last couple of years has just been crap. you know, I come from the George Perez Wolfman Titans years, and
yes.
And I look at what they're doing with the Titans now, and I'm like, what is wrong with these people? You know, they've got this miniseries coming out that they're talking about. Oh, the hidden history of the Titans. It's not hidden, man. I got omnibuses on my shelf. That's full of them. Okay. You know, take a look at them. You know, New Warriors, another great title that could be done really well if Marvel would give them a shot. Young Avengers, the initial run of Young Avengers was so good that, in my opinion, it actually almost rivals the Wolfman Perez era of Titans. But ever since somebody else has tried to do something with them, it's been nothing but hockey pucks. Okay? And New Mutants was a great comic back in the 80s, and there's a lot of perspective for new characters to be made, especially now with the whole Inhuman thing and all that jazz. Use it. You know, have fun with it. Tie it into the S.H.I.E.L.D. series, you know, why not? So, I mean, that's just the start. I mean, there's other stuff, I'm sure.
Wait, so you didn't like Kieran Gillian's take on Young Avengers?
No, not at all.
Oh, dude, okay.
But, I couldn't stand the art. I really didn't like the characters. There was nothing really to like about them. You know, I like the original ones. And I don't think they had enough time to really mature into good characters. I mean, 12 issues only gives you so much.
I love Jim Chung's art on that series, too. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Most definitely.
Well, cool. Aiden, well, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I have a few as well. I will tell you the most important one first, because I think this is something that needs to be done, like, immediately. It's like Spider-Verse, right? But with Deadpool in it, and they kill off every single multiversion of Deadpool off, and they never bring him back again. That's it.
I will buy your comic.
It's wiped from history, okay? No more Deadpool. Every single version, movie version dies, comic version dies, everything dies, Deadpool dead.
Can we start a petition for this?
I've already written it, so what do they need someone to draw it for me? Deadpool dies on every page.
It's a one-time series.
I'm gonna call it Die Deadpool Die.
Go ahead, Jason.
I'm gonna call it Die Deadpool Die.
That would work.
Am I the only one here that would love to see Fred Hembeck draw that?
That would be awesome. I don't care who draws it, as long as it's done and everyone he's gone. Gone. Gwenpool as well, or whatever the hell that is, she's gone as well. Before she even starts, gone.
Dogpool, headpool, all of them in one pool.
horrible, horrible, horrible.
Every semester, for the first quiz I give in my class, the last question of the first quiz is always, "Who's your favorite superhero?" And it's always fun to track. You know, first, most people just name Batman and Spider-Man and characters that they've seen in the movies. But Deadpool has made a much larger showing this semester than in any previous semester. And again, it's because of the film. But you will be making some of my students very sad.
That's cool. Let's forget about him as well.
And darn it, that's also good. Darn it, that's Jason's job to make him miserable.
Yeah, Deadpool does seem to be a creeping presence into the general public as well. It does seem to, I know people that have Deadpool T-shirts. I would never consider them even to be comic readers, let alone Deadpool fans. So
yeah, he's on Reddit and Imgur a lot, and memes and whatnot. So
scary star. I just despise the guy. I mean, come on, okay. So it's a Liefeld character to start off with. So I mean, that's one strike against him to start off with. So I
think Liefeld's pretty unhappy with the current direction. If it makes you feel any better.
Well, yeah, that should be a good thing, right?
Yeah. Sits him where he's weeping as he rolls and rolls and over in his big pile of money.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
He's weeping, going, "Why does he have feet? He was never meant to have feet."
So, do you have a more serious answer to that question, Aid, or is that the one you're sticking with?
Well, the other one that I thought of, I adore, which shouldn't surprise anybody, would be a new Captain Britain series that would focus on the Captain Britain core with Merlin and Roma and all that kind of stuff. The kind of the Alan Moore era of Captain Britain, because recently he just seems to have been used in as like a backup character, and he doesn't get focused on as, I mean, if there's even a Captain Britain Spider-Man in Spider-Verse, but Captain Britain himself doesn't get any kind of recognition anymore. So there are rumors that there is a Captain Britain series on the way, of one of their November, December, January restarts whenever Secret Wars finishes. So I keep my fingers crossed for that, but Captain Britain back on the shelves would be fantastic.
Aid, by any chance, do you read Back Issue Magazine?
No, I do not.
You may want to pick up the latest issue because there's a very fascinating article in there about the genesis of Captain Britain. Because apparently, when they were getting ready to roll him out in England, it happened at the time when there was another indie British comic company that was putting out like a stronger version of the old EC comics, like with lots of violence and lots of sex, and it got Mary Whitehouse and that crowd excited, and there was this big moral later day Wortham scare against all comics, and the original rollout of Captain Britain was almost completely botched because that just straight superhero comic got rolled into this whole condemnation of comics as a media. And it got so concerning for Marvel that Stan Lee himself did like this barnstorming tour of like UK media trying to convince people that no, we're not going to have graphic disembowelments in Captain Britain. And it's a pretty interesting look into, you know, these media panics and how Marvel was trying to do damage control in the pre-internet era. So it's a good read. I recommend it to you. And it's good. And it's available as a PDF too, so you can go read it now if you want. Live from the podcast, I guess.
Yeah, cool.
I gotta look that up. I just said thanks for being there. I gotta look that up.
All right, cool.
So, Jason, since you're talking right now, what are your thoughts on the subject?
You know, I'm sure that every writer on this panel has a long list of characters they wish that they got to write one day. I had a top 10 at one point of characters that I wish I would one day get to write. I never really thought I'd get a chance to, and my chance has not improved in the last decade. But up near the top of the list are characters which I've always wanted to write, and that. The number one on that list is the original Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel to me is if there's a purer form of the superhero, I don't know what it is. I mean, he's a kid who says a magic word and turns into his super dad. It's just really, you know, and now I realize that, you know, we think of Superman as the original superhero, he's kind of the archetypal superhero. But one of the things that we've come to understand lately, and a lot of this I got from Chris Sims' delightful articles on Comics Alliance, which I've been reading for many years, but he helped me to understand that when we were first creating these characters, Superman, Batman, and so on, we didn't really know what we were making. You know, like there was a lot of trial and error in the first few years. Like those times when Batman uses a gun in the first year of Detective Comics, you know. There was a lot of finding what you wanted to make. And so Captain Marvel kind of benefits from a little bit of that hindsight. We could create a superhero, which in many ways is, in my opinion, a more pure and symbolic representation of what the superhero kind of really is, even than Superman himself. And plus, Captain Marvel's just been notoriously hard to market. So if we're talking about a dream project, that means I don't have to worry about how many people buy the book. I just get to write it. So I would do Captain Marvel.
I'd buy it. I love Captain Marvel, so that's one sale you've got there straight away.
Okay, very good. All right, so I'll buy Die, Deadpool Die, and we'll be good.
I think Jason and I team up. I guess Samaritan is my homage to Captain Marvel, and it was done as a charitable character for a young kid who was going through a lot of physical issues. And, dude, you can rate that one. Well, it won't sell the record, so you're in perfect.
Now, this actually gets me to my secret answers, and Charlie gave me an opening. The absolute truth is, my dream project is I want to write an ongoing superhero book with somebody that wants to draw it. Like, I don't even care. If somebody on this panel or somebody listening to this panel, somebody out there that wants to draw a book, you know, like, I want to write it. It's been years since I last had a published comics credit, And I've learned so much since then about kind of how superheroes work and what they have to say. And I think my ambitions have risen because, you know, in the past you just kind of wanted to make a book that was fun.
Yeah.
But now I want to make a book that says something. You know, and so I would love, that's my secret dream project, is to write any ongoing superhero book. I mean, let's be honest. That's
is that a reference to the Route 66 comic you said you were going to write?
Oh, yeah. So those of you that have listened to Walt, this was, I mean, that's a great example, but without trying to keep a long story from getting too long, back when I was doing the field guide to superheroes and Dan Houser was adding character art to that book, he created this design for a character who wore like an outfit inspired by like blacktop colors. It was like street gray with a yellow dash down the center. And he was a speedster. And I thought, well, who is this guy? And he told me, well, this is Fastlane, the defender of the interstate highway system. And I just loved that idea. The idea of a guy who's a defender of a...
Jason, are you still there?
Right in the middle of a story? That's not right.
I know. That's terrible.
It's like one of those insurance ads.
That's like mic drop, and then he walks off.
It's like the worst ellipsis possible.
Flash it back to the movie Failsafe. The sound you will hear will be Jason Tondra's phone melting.
Well, damn, is Jason coming back? His little icon's all grayed out. Well, shoot, let's segue quickly to Walt Rebilliard. Walt,
damn it,
he's
a zombie now.
Oh dear God, how am I gonna follow that one up? First thing I'd really love to see come back. I actually really shouldn't even mention it, but it's just such a big love of mine. I have to. Battle Chasers from Joe Madden, and the great thing about this is two things. Number one, he is relaunching it, so we are going to see a Battle Chasers continuation. And thing number two, they're on Kickstarter right now, and they're pushing a video game associated with it. It's like a 2D scroller that goes into 3D, that goes back to 2D, and it's like one of those beat 'em up games from back in the day. So that looks like fun. So that I shouldn't mention it, but just the fact that I'm such a huge Battle Chasers fan from back in the day, that's my jam. But as far as what I'd love to see, I would love to see either one of the guys on this panel or, you know, any of my favorite writers out there. I would love to see a superhero team comic starring all the 80s action stars like Mantis, Street Hawk, Man from Atlantis, Manimal, Bionic Man and Woman, Airwolf, like, and get all those guys together in one comic as like an Avengers of 80s action heroes, and then anytime it gets too hairy, they bring in a special appearance of the A-Team. That would be my greatest just somebody put it together and let's get it out there because it'll sell like a billion zillion copies.
You know, Hasselhoff works cheap.
Stole your idea, right? No.
Say again?
I said Dynamite just stole your idea. You know, you said it, they heard it, it's done.
They've already got the ink drying on the licenses.
Yeah. Well, damn Skippy. I mean, I got my wallet open. I'm ready to toss some money at this. Let's go.
Well, I mean, be careful, because I think you can give Hasselhoff like $5 for his license rights right now.
Yeah, you know a Knight Rider would fit in there every once in a while.
So this would be like the Wold Newton of 80s action stars, you know.
But yeah, I think that would be a very fun project. And what's really cool is right now with we have this gentleman that's working with us doing a third party thing, Gary Brown, and he's actually creating in conjunction with John Gibbons an 80s action hack of our Supers RPG system. Cool. So yeah, that's that should be coming in maybe November, maybe December. We're not really sure yet, but you could take all of those properties and just jam them right in there, and it would run beautifully. But to see that as a comic, you know, I'd be all like screaming teenage girl at an NSYNC concert or some crap. I mean, it would be
I think it's One Direction these days, but yeah, I feel you.
I get close. I don't know.
No, it'd be great if the evil mastermind, like the scene where they finally track him down, who the guy is behind all the plots, and it's like Webster. He spins around in his office chair, and he's on like a couple phone books.
Gary Coleman is sidekick. You know?
Oh my God! And he's got Tattoo yelling out the plane, and he's really talking about like all the A-Team jumping in.
I think we're writing this book right now. DTA, can you guys draw this for us?
I can try.
Okay, I need some rough pages by Monday. Thanks.
Okay, see what I can do next.
Well, I don't think Jason's coming back, which is a bummer because I wanted to hear where he was going with all that.
Absolutely. While we're waiting for Jason, I'll see if I can try and get him back. Chris, you had a second property that you were talking about earlier, right?
Yes, and I had deciphered my handwriting on the third one, so I can stretch the show out a little more if you like. Yeah. All right. Well, the second one, again, this was another rumored thing that never came to be, but to me, there have been very, very few Elseworlds stories more satisfying than James Robinson's The Golden Age.
Love it.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's true to the characters, it's modern storytelling, the art is beautiful, and it, without spoiling it, it gives you an ending from a Golden Age comic book and that still plays out well in the modern era. I mean, it's such a perfect series. And after that came out and seemed to satisfy the people running DC at the time, there was an announcement that the next thing he was going to tackle was he was going to do the Silver Age and take that same approach to like the very beginnings DC's early age. And so, to me, that would have been so perfect. Now, obviously, it would have been preferable to get Paul Smith back to draw it because I love what he did on Golden Age. But I was thinking, you know, if there were a coup and, like, people that didn't subsist on the tears of fans were to take over DC, I was thinking, you know, you couldn't get Paul Smith. Wouldn't it be fun to get Darwin Cook to draw it?
Yeah. Yes, that would work. I can live with that.
Yeah, but apparently, Robinson backed out because I don't want to misquote him, but I think essentially for what he said was he realized he didn't have a second issue, so you know he couldn't progress the story farther enough to satisfy him, and I just like to nudge him like come on, I got a Snicker bar, come on, Nick, come on, give it a shot. You can have the candy bar if you give it a shot, and, you know, maybe I could bribe him or something, but yeah, I would love to see that come to fruition. That, you know, I mean, maybe there's less of it now that New Frontier has been done, but I'd still love to see Robinson take a crack at it. So that's my second of three.
All right. Well, I got a couple if you want to, you know, pass some time until Jason shows up.
Hit it.
All right. You know, just as an example of the kind of thing I'm thinking about, Warren Ellis and the Clan Shalvey, I think is his name, recently revamped Moon Knight character.
Yeah.
And they took him kind of, I don't want to say back to basics because it was the cliche, but they kind of took him, I mean, he's sort of a detective who focuses on a weird crime, which is kind of a great niche for him, almost Batman-esque. But like Batman being a detective as opposed to being, you know, the things he becomes. Other, and it's just been kind of great. Each issue kind of feels like, you know, kind of a grimy 70s crime movie or a grimy 70s crime movie mixed with a Twilight Zone episode. And it's just been a really good fit for the character who's kind of got, you know, he's street level, so you got the street crime and the martial arts, but he's also got that mystical element. And it's just, you know, it just works really well. And actually, Ellis has left the book about, I want to say a year ago. They've kind of been following his footsteps, and they haven't fucked it up yet. So I don't even know who the artist was before I saw him on this project, but I was impressed with his work. But yeah, Warren Ellis doing Moon Knight, you know, basically doing an understated yet fucked up Batman. It just really worked for that character. So anyway, that's an example of something that worked really well. Dream Projects, you know, one time we had a guy on the podcast years ago called Ulysses Farnes, a Filipino artist, a great guy, and he had this concept for a JSA in the 1930s fighting a Martian invasion. And he had done some art for it that just looked fucking amazing. So if I could ever see that book, I would pick that up. And actually, he's got
JSA versus Mars Attacks kind of thing?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Hmm.
Well, you know, that sounds awesome, but you know, we already got something sort of close to that. Roy Thomas did an one-shot Elseworlds where it was the Golden Age Superman put into the Orson Welles War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Oh,
I never saw that.
Me neither.
Well, it's well worth picking up.
Okay, cool. We'll keep an eye out for that. So a couple other things I'd like to see. You got these characters from the 90s who, you know, the 90s were a bad time for comics, but you have some decent DC characters are kind of on the shelf now because everyone wanted to see the old Silver Age characters come back. So, like, the Green Arrow from the 90s, Connor Hawk, who is an interesting character. He's a Buddhist. He's a martial artist. He's half Korean. Kyle Rayner, Green Lantern, who gets a lot of abuse. But I really like what Ron Mars did with them. Wally West as the Flash. And he wasn't quite in the 90s, but Ryan Choi as the Atom kind of fits. You know, he was a fun character who got discarded so that, you know, everybody could have their favorite Silver Age character back.
Yeah.
Kind of be fun to see those four guys on a team. Maybe like, I don't know. I don't even know what niche that team, maybe, I don't know. I don't want to say the Outsiders, but there is an Outsiders. I don't know, it just seems like you could do something interesting with them, and now that I'm saying it out loud, I really don't know what, but maybe that's why I've done a book with them right now. All right, moving on.
We were talking about a new Infinity Incorporated earlier, somewhere along the line.
Yes, we were. We were talking about using Jaime Reyes for Silver Scarab instead of Blue Beetle.
That's right.
Oh, that could be cool.
In all
honesty, go ahead.
Yeah. In all honesty, the character, I really like Jaime Reyes. I was kind of annoyed that they had to kill Ted Kord off to actually kind of diversify the character. And instead they had Silver Scarab, which is an awesome name, awesome abilities, and it fits kind of what Jaime does. You know? So he would have been an awesome Silver Scarab. Could have actually went under Ted Kord for training. You know?
Yeah, Jaime Reyes is another character I liked who, you know, is suddenly... Is he even around anymore? Is Blue Beetle still in DCU at all?
Yeah, his book was actually part of the original New 52.
Was it? Well, yeah, it's been canceled since, right?
They lost
it. Yes.
I think he went to space.
Oh, no, you're right. Yes, that's right. They went to Threshold for a little while, didn't they? That's right.
And
Ted Kord's had a mention in JLA at some point where they've mentioned Kord Industries being bought out by Luthor, but that's as far as that's gone, so yeah.
Yeah, it was during Forever Evil.
That's okay. Right.
Oh, hey, the one last thing I'd like to see, and this will never happen because who knows who has the rights right now, although IDW might be bringing him back. If you could do like a ROM miniseries, but like base it on, you know, an old samurai movie, like sort of take the plot from Kurosawa's Yojimbo and do that as, you know, ROM as a cosmic samurai, that would be pretty cool.
That would be cool, especially with some updated designs, because some of those designs are still cool, but they're very... They're almost anachronistic now. I mean, if you look at it, put them today, they just don't fit, you know. So, I'd like to see that.
You mean they look like they were designed by a toy company in the 70s?
Yes.
Fair enough. I can see that. So, and that is all I got. So, well, shoot, Jason hasn't come back. So, who's publishing stuff? DT, what do you have going on right now?
What doesn't he have going on?
let's see. I'm on my. I'm actually doing art for the next AOV issue, which starts in the first week of October. Still trying to work on a compiled list. I would like to note, though, we are having some problems with Hero Lab files that are attached to our AOV issues. For those of you who are listening, who are actually wondering what's going on, we're working on it. I had one guy who had actually asked me about him, and I've been trying to keep people updated on the Facebook page. We're having an issue with old characters that are being updated, and it's a mess. Wolf Slayer has it right now. We're working on it. That's all I can say.
Okay, cool. Oh, I guess we should mention, since I occasionally publish things besides running a podcast, we just released a new Icons adventure called Festival of Fear for Icons. That will be coming out for Savage Worlds and Supers next couple of weeks. Crowdfunded it on Patreon, so we're selling it for a very cheap price of $1.50. And you get to punch an evil clown in the face. And who doesn't want to do that? I mean, heck, the Republican debate was just last night, and I felt that urge powerfully more than once. Not a fan of Donald Trump, that's all I'm going to say. But yeah, so check that out. And if you like kind of what we're doing at Fanning Goat Games, search for Fanning Goat on a Patreon. We're the only one with that name. And we're crowdfunding further, you know, superhero adventures over there. So give us a look. And Chris, what's the news with you guys over at Green Ronin?
Oh, you want to plug stuff or you want me to do my last drinking project?
What was the second thing you said?
Do you want me to plug Green Ronin stuff or do you want to hear my third dream project before we switch gears totally?
Let's do a dream project before we forget about it.
Okay. All right, my third dream project, and then I'll be happy to plug stuff at Greek Rooney. back when I was working for West End on their DC stuff, I got picked to do the JSA source book, which was a dream come true. I mean, the whole game writing thing is a dream come true to me. And it's amazing when you're utterly convinced that your life is a dream, you will do stuff without even thinking about the consequences. So I had a few like minor points about some of the entries. So I figure, you know, what the hell? Roy Thomas's email address is in every issue of Alter Ego. I'll just ask Roy Thomas for help. And lo and behold, I got back some of the nicest, most generous emails I've ever gotten from a comic professional. I mean, he put up with far more of my geekery than I would have put up from somebody else had the situation been reversed. And it was great because it drifted from research to just chatting with him. And I once just slipped in a question like, what comic would you, if you had an opportunity to come back and do the project of your choice, what would you like to do? And he told me that he wanted to do an update of All-Star Squadron. So immediately, I'm on board with the idea of him coming back and doing more All-Star Squadron. But he told me the first issue would be the Nazis launching a surprise commando raid with supers on Washington, D.C., and actually successfully killing Franklin Roosevelt. So you would know from the first issue that history was gone. That for however many issues it would last, you would know that it's not necessarily going to end with an atom bomb and us triumphantly waving the 48-star flag over Berlin. You would know right from the first issue that anything can happen and nobody was safe. And I just the idea of a no-rules All-Star Squadron written by the man that ought to be writing All-Star Squadron, I was like, I'm totally there. I would so read this.
Sweet. So,
that's my third one. Okay. Everybody's silent. I'm wondering if I'm going to read this. I'm alone on this, aren't I?
That's a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, oh, I love you. Web 2 stuff is just great. So I can't see why this is the thing. With DC now, with their kind of looser approach to continuity and their various multiversal stuff, this is the stuff that they should be doing. They should be bringing. We should have this kind of stuff popping out every so often. So, but no, Batman, Superman books. Don't worry about anything else.
Yeah. Okay. What are we doing at Green Ronin? Well, we just we of course are doing our weekly villain series. Rogues Gallery is still going strong. We have a brand new villain this week from the far too young and far too talented Alex Thomas. He has a killer robot, which is always good fun. And I have to say good things about him, even though I can't get past the shock that he was born a week after I started dating my wife. Okay, that was a shock I was not ready for. I just got my deal for the next 13 that I'm going to be doing for the series. So I have a lot of fun stuff coming up in the second round. And then we have the Green Ronin Summit coming up this week, and we have a big year full of fun projects I know people have been waiting on. The Cosmic book should be out before the end of the year, I'm told, and the next year we're looking forward to I scarcely believe it possible, but an even better updated, revised version of Hero High from the one and only Lucian Solbon.
Very cool.
And I have a few pages in there which are probably going to be very easy to tear out if you would rather just keep it an all Lucian book. I won't begrudge you that. And then, of course, next year will be the big third edition Freedom City update from the one and only Steve the Man Kinson. For those of you who are Emerald City fans, the long-awaited and much plugged by the author Victory Squadron PDF outlining what Emerald City's World War II team was like. Speaking of Golden Age stuff, so we have that to look forward to as well.
Well, that sounds like a huge amount of M&M material. I mean, big books too. We haven't seen that in a while.
Well, we're looking forward to getting it out to the people because we know they've been waiting.
Hey, I have to ask this question, and I don't want to, even as I'm thinking about asking it. I don't want to, but you mentioned the Cosmic book. And,
yes.
You know, Chris, we've been talking about the Cosmic book on this podcast since the first Obama administration.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And I'm not exaggerating. I love you guys at Green Ronin. I love you guys almost as much as I love cake. And I like cake.
Thank you.
But is it really coming out at the end of the year, Chris?
Well, I mean, you never know. There's all these doomsday prophets that say we'll be under the rule of the Antichrist by March, and that Seattle will slide into the ocean, and that might throw up, you know, things back off a little off schedule. But, you know, barring the Antichrist seizing power or Seattle not being leveled by one of those Ring of Fire typical earthquakes, it should be out by the end of the year. The company is putting a priority on it now, and I don't think it's any great secret in the industry that our coffers are overflowing with all the filthy Will Wheaton lucre. So, yes.
You say filthy Wheaton lucre?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And of course, once it was announced on our forums that they were going to be boycotting Rogues Gallery, well, we just snapped too. Yes, because that totally made the difference.
You know, the Atomic Think Tank used to be such a big and active farm, and now it seems like there's 20 guys and they're all pissed off.
Well,
hundreds of dudes who hung out there. Now it's like the same 10 pissed off guys every time I go.
It really depends on what forum you go to. I think, like, if you stick to the forums where people are talking about their settings and things that they're doing, there's some really amazing stuff going on there. Because, like, for instance, I named a character in Emerald City after somebody from my original first ever gaming group, and They were playing by post an adventure that I wrote, and one of the characters in there is using the character named after my friend as an NPC and an advisor. And so I had to contact my old friend and say, you know that somebody's playing you as an NPC in a role-playing game, right? And then she turned around and said, I could cosplay as myself. and I just went, whoa, once we were the players, now we are the game.
Has this cosplay happened yet?
We're working on it, but we have to make it happen just to see if you can get so meta that the meta will collapse on itself. You know, what happens
with the glitch in the Matrix, you know that.
What happens when the snake finally swallows its tail?
All right. That's cool.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing, especially Cosmic Book, because I've been anxious to see that for 3.5-4 years now.
So, as do all of us who get a check when it comes out.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so let's see. Jason is definitely not coming back at this point. Hey, Ant-Man. Anybody seen it? Because we haven't talked about Ant-Man yet on this podcast, have we?
Yeah, I saw it. No, we haven't talked about it. Yeah, I saw it.
All right, everyone who liked Ant-Man, say yay.
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 Everyone who hated it, say no. Chris, you were silent. What the hell?
I said yay.
Oh, okay. Well, I figured you hated it because, you know, you hate things.
No. It was the perfect movie, and I have to admit, it was preceded by the perfect trailer. Because before we got to Ant-Man, I had to sit through the trailer for Batman versus Superman. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, oh, my God, it's how to do a superhero movie precisely wrong to a movie that gets it precisely right. It was the difference between, does a god bleed, and I got the van.
You know, I ruined somebody's day by knowing too much about the Batman movie coming out.
Superhero movie made by people that don't openly despise their audience. I mean, good lord. I mean, Ant-Man is a revelation in that regard.
Yeah, I would have thunk. Yeah, I was wearing a Batman shirt because I own one of those because I'm a geek. A local gas station, and this is Colorado, so the guy behind the counter was probably high, and he was like, Batman!
And it was 4:20 p.m., and
he was like, what's going on with Batman these days? And I said, well, man, you know, Ben Affleck's going to be playing him. And the dude just dropped his cigarettes, looked at me, and said, no! God, no! Why is he ruining everything that's good? No! And I just felt so guilty for giving this guy entertainment news. And I was like, you know, man, they're going to reboot it in 5 years anyway, so it's all right. You know, maybe Shia LaBeouf gets up to them next time. I don't know, but I was joking. It'll be Andy Garfield next time or something. Who knows? So
better than Shia LaBeouf. Yeah,
I feel bad for Shia.
Do it.
It's not often a meltdown is so prolonged in public. I mean, that's crazy stuff. All right, well, hey, have we we've been talking for about an hour now. I got a feeling we have run this subject into the ground. Anything else anyone wants to talk on? before we wrap it up?
I think we're looking pretty good.
All right, cool.
I think we need to go look for Jason.
Yeah, I've been sending him messages and stuff like that, and Facebook, Google, you know, I've pretty much digitally violated every form of contact I could, and he's not getting back to me.
He was last seen in a Quinjet over the ocean.
I believe it.
I was going to ask, check and see if any cities blew up or anything.
Well, he's in rural Georgia. Charlie and Chris, you guys are close there, right?
Northern Virginia. I guess we're both in the South.
Yeah. Is that the South? I don't know. It depends on who you talk to. You know, the thing about living in Virginia, Chris, you know this, right?
Yeah.
The North never claims us, and neither does the South. So we're kind of like this vacant black hole.
Well, as a guy who lives on Stonewall Road in Manassas, you know, I feel pretty claimed.
I live in Fredericksburg, so I mean, I don't have a choice either.
Okay.
So when are y'all rising again, just so I can know ahead of time to plan a vacation?
When I move to Canada.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, appreciate y'all coming out and sharing some time with us, talking about general geekery. Always a pleasure.
Yes, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks a lot.
To our patient and long-suffering listeners, we appreciate you listening to us. And, all right, one last time. Anything else they want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
Just that we're on the super side. We have Dominic Sumner is like the powerhouse behind the throne right now.
Yeah.
He's converting a lot of space super stuff for you, Mike, and Fandango Games. But if people are needing like characters or bad guys to throw at their players, they should really check out his Enemy Strike files because they're really well done. A lot of good stuff. And he's going to be releasing some NPCs for your game too. So like if you need that random cop or the guy that, you know, pours your coffee in the morning as, you know, like a dude in distress or whatever. But you know, also just a reminder, go check out the latest clown bashing Improbable Tales, because that was definitely a fun romp. So it
Festival, you know, of Fear, available now on RPG Now for just $1.50.
And that's me done with my pimping. I'll take a bow.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks to everybody for listening, and we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.